Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Sleep and Relax ASMR. Now, today we'll be reading the Wikipedia page for the Coen brothers. So this is another rendition of ASM articles. Before I get into it, you may be able to tell from my voice, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. Some people say they actually prefer my voice when they're a little bit when I'm a little bit under the weather. I haven't really heard the opposite, but maybe you guys are just very nice. But I'm just saying that if you hear me a little different, maybe that's why. And if you hate it, then I'll stop doing it in the future. But I just really want to make sure that I got this episode out on time. So that's why, even though I'm a little sick, I'm doing it anyway. So anyway, I think that's enough of an intro. For those of you unfamiliar with this series, basically we pick a person, a place, an event, and we read the Wikipedia page for it or for them, or for him or her. And it's just to learn something new together, and it is to just pass time together and maybe bore you enough where you go to sleep. Maybe you learn something new and you find it very interesting. It can be whatever it is it needs to be for you. Make it whatever you like. So let's just jump into it. Joel David Coen, born November 29th, 1954, and Ethan Jesse Coen, born September 21st, 1957, collectively referred to as the Coen brothers, are American filmmakers. Their films span many genres and styles, which they frequently subvert or parody. Their most acclaimed works include Miller's Crossing, Fargo, which I love the TV show for Fargo, The Big Lebowski, The Dude, No Country for Old Men, A Serious Man, and True Grit. Of all those, I've seen The Big Lebowski almost in its entirety. Fargo, I never saw the film, but I've seen all three seasons of Fargo, the TV show. Season 1 and 3, fantastic. Season 2, good, but not great, in my opinion. And No Country for Old Men is also an excellent, excellent film. Somehow I already got lost here. Where did I jump off here? Oh, okay. The brothers write to direct and produce their films jointly, although until The Ladykillers in 2004, Joel received sole credit for directing and Ethan for producing. They often alternate top billing for their screenplays while sharing editing credits under the alias Roderick Janes. That's a weird alias, huh? I wonder where they came up with that. They've been nominated for 13 Academy Awards together and individually for one award each, winning Best Original Screenplay for Fargo and Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Adapted Screenplay for No Country for Old Men. The duo also won the Palme d'Or for Barton Fink in 91. The Coen brothers have written a number of films they did not direct, including the biographical war drama Unbroken in 2014, the historical legal thriller Bridge of Spies in 2015, and lesser-known commercially unsuccessful comedies such as Crime Wave, never heard of it, The Naked Man, never heard of it, and Gambit, never heard of it either. Ethan is also a writer of short stories, theater, and poetry. The brothers filmed No Country for Old Men, A Serious Man, and Inside Llewyn Davis. Llewyn Davis? I've actually never heard of that film either. I'm sorry, I know I'm not a... I enjoy some of their work, but I guess I'm not a big enough fan. Inside Llewyn Davis. Okay, please someone correct me if I'm wrong. Have been ranked in the BBC's 2016 poll of the greatest motion pictures since 2000. Background. Early life. Joel and Ethan Coen were born and raised in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis. Their mother, Rena, was an art historian at St. Cloud State University, and their father, Edward Coen, was an economist at the University of Minnesota. Their family is Jewish. When they were children, Joel saved money from mowing lawns to buy a Vivitar Super 8 camera. Together, the brothers remade movies they saw on television with their neighborhood friend, Mark Zimmering, Zimmer's, I guess as they refer to him as a star. Their first attempt was a romp entitled Henry Kissinger, Men on the Go. Cornel Wilde's The Naked Prey became their Zimmer's in Zambia? Weird. I'm just confused as to the structure of that sentence. Anyway, which also featured Ethan as a native with a spear. Joel Cohen has said, quote, in regards to whether our background influences our filmmaking, who knows? We don't think about it. There's no doubt that our Jewish heritage affects how we see things, end quote. Education. Joel and Ethan graduated from St. Louis Park High School in 1973 and 76, respectively, and from Bard College at Simon's Rock in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Joel then spent 4 years in the undergraduate film program at New York University, where he made a 30-minute thesis film called Surroundings. Ethan went to Princeton University and earned an undergraduate degree in philosophy in 79. His senior thesis was a 41-page essay titled Two Views of Wittgenstein's Later Philosophy. I took a single philosophy. Let me rephrase. I tried taking a single philosophy course during my undergraduate studies, and I really did not like it. I don't think I liked the professor who taught it, which may have influenced my decision making, but I think I was there for 45 minutes and I immediately dropped the class. Which at that time there was no financial impact. You know, I would drop the course and then I wouldn't be charged for the course. But I ended up taking one less course than I was supposed to that semester. I just did not want to do it. And now we move on to, here we go. Personal lives. Joel's been married to actress Frances McDormand since 1984. They adopted a son from Paraguay named Pedro McDormand Cohen. Pedro. McDormand has acted in several Coen brothers films, including a minor appearance in Miller's Crossing, a supporting role in Raising Arizona, lead roles in Blood Simple, and The Man Who Wasn't There, her Academy Award-winning role in Fargo, and her starring role in Burn After Reading. Great, great film as well. I really liked Burn After Reading. She also did a voiceover in Barton Fink. Ethan married film editor Trisha Cook in 1990. They have two children, daughter Dusty and son Buster Jacob, who goes to Vassar College, or Vassar College. Not sure which, how you say it. Both couples live in New York. So that's a lot of talented film and production quality in that gene pool. It's crazy. Career 1980s. After graduating from New York University, Joel worked as a production assistant on a variety of industrial films and music videos. He developed talent for film editing and met Sam Raimi, the director of Spider-Man, I guess, while assisting Edna Ruth Paul in editing Raimi's first feature film, The Evil Dead. In 1984, the brothers wrote and directed Blood Simple, their first commercial film together. Set in Texas, the film tells a tale of a shifty, sleazy bar owner who hires a private detective to kill his wife and his lover, and her lover, excuse me. The film contains elements that point to their future direction. Distinctive homages to genre movies, in this case noir and horror, plot twists layered over a simple story, dark humor, and mise en scène. I always make a fool of myself. The film starred Frances McDormand, who will go on to feature in many of the Coen brothers' films, and Mary Joel, of course. Upon release, the film received much praise and won awards for Joel's direction at both the Sundance and Independent Spirit Awards. Their next project was Crime Wave in 1985, directed by Raimi and written by the Coens and Raimi. Joel and Raimi also made cameo appearances in Spies Like Us, a film in 1985. The brothers' next film was Raising Arizona in 87. The story of an unlikely married couple, ex-convict H.I., Nicolas Cage, and police officer Ed, Holly Hunter, who long for a baby but are unable to conceive. When a local furniture tycoon, Trey Wilson, played by Trey Wilson, appears on television with his newly born quintuplets and jokes that they are more than we can handle. H.I. steals one of the quintuplets to bring up as their own. The film featured Frances McDormand, John Goodman, William Forsythe, Sam McMurray, and Randall Tex Cobb. A good lineup. 1990s. Miller's Crossing, released in 1990, starred Albert Finney, Gabriel Byrne, and John Turturro. The film is about feuding gangsters in the Prohibition era, inspired by Dan Shields Hammett's novels Red Harvest in 1920 and The Glass Key. The following year, they released Barton Fink, set in 1941, in which a New York playwright, the eponymous Barton Fink, played by John Turturro, moved to Los Angeles to write a B-movie. He settles down in his hotel room to commence writing, but suffers writer's block until he's invaded by the man next door, who's played by John Goodman. Barton Fink was a critical success, earning Oscar nominations and winning 3 major awards at the 1991 Cannes Film Festival, including the Palme d'Or. It was her first film with cinematographer Roger Deakins, a key collaborator for the next 25 years. I think that must be a common theme with a lot of these very successful writers and directors, is they, as I understand it, have basically like a core group of people that they work on every single project with. Because I'm pretty sure Christopher Nolan works the same way, where it's always the same guy doing the score, it's the same guy doing cinematography, it's the same guy doing, you know, set production, whatever, you know. However, there are many roles there are when creating a film. Where did I stop here? Okay. The Herdsucker Proxy, co-written with Raimi, was released in 1994. In it, the board of a large corporation in 1958 New York City appoints a naive schmo as a president, played by Tim Robbins, for underhanded reasons. The film bombed the box office. $30 million budget, ooh, and a $3 million gross in the USA. Even though it featured Paul Newman and Jennifer Jason Leigh, Frances McDormand appears in a brief uncredited role. So that was a massive, massive, massive failure. The Coens wrote and directed the crime thriller Fargo, 1996, set in their home state of Minnesota. Jerry Lundegaard, played by William H. Macy, who has serious financial problems, has his wife kidnapped so that his wealthy father-in-law will pay the ransom. His plan goes wrong when the kidnappers deviate from the plan and local cop Marge Gunderson, played by McDormand, starts to investigate. Produced on a small budget of $7 million, Fargo was a critical and commercial success, with particular praise for its dialogue and McDormand's performance. The film received several awards, including a BAFTA award and a Cannes award for direction, and 2 Oscars, one for Best Original Screenplay and a Best Actress Oscar for McDormand. I should definitely check out the film, because again, I love the TV show, and I just love the way, I don't know if people actually talk like that in Minnesota, but they kind of like talk like that, you know. It's almost like, I don't know, it's like very like nasally almost, and very high pitch. I love it. Like, I think it's so endearing. But my question to any listener from Minnesota, how accurate is that? Well, how good is my Minnesotan accent? It's probably bad. No need to reply to that one, actually. How similar are the accents you see on the TV show to how, you know, real Minnesotans speak? Be curious to know. And I just love finding out. I love having these questions, and almost every single time I pose a question, I love getting a response from someone like, hey, you asked this question, here's the answer. I love it. Well, I'm digressing a lot today. Sorry about that. All right. In the Coen's next film, the black comedy The Big Lebowski, the dude, played by Jeff Bridges, a Los Angeles slacker, is used as an unwitting pawn in a kidnapping plot with his bowling buddies, played by Steve Buscemi and John Goodman. Despite initially receiving mixed reviews and underperforming at the box office, it is now very well received by critics and is regarded as a classic cult film, definitely. An annual fest, Lebowski Fest, began in 2002, and many adhere to the philosophy of dudism. The dude. Okay, I won't do it anymore. Entertainment Weekly ranked it 8th on their funniest movies. movies of the past 25 years list in 2008. Gates of Eden, a collection of short stories written by Ethan Coen, was published in 98. The same year Ethan co-wrote the comedy The Naked Man, directed by their storyboard artist J. Todd Anderson. And now we move into the 2000s. The Coen brothers' next film, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, in 2000, was another critical and commercial success. The title was borrowed from the Preston Sturges film Sullivan's Travels, whose lead character, movie director John Sullivan, had planned to make a film with that title. Based loosely on Homer's Odyssey, the story is set in Mississippi in the late 1930s and follows a trio of escaped convicts who, after absconding from a chain gang, journey home to recover bank heist loot the leader has buried, but they have no clear perception of where they are going. The film highlighted the comic abilities of George Clooney as an oddball lead character, Ulysses Everett McGill, and of Tim Blake Nelson and John Turturro, his sidekicks. The film's bluegrass and old-time soundtrack, offbeat humor, and digitally desaturated cinematography made it a critical and commercial hit. It was the first feature film to use all digital color grading. The film soundtrack CD was also successful, spawning a concert and concert/documentary DVD, Down from the Mountain, that coincided with a resurgence in interest in American folk music. The Coen brothers next produced another noirish thriller, The Man Who Wasn't There, in 2001. Set in the late 40s in California, a laconic chain-smoking barber, played by Billy Bob Thornton, discovers a way to blackmail his wife's lover and use the proceeds to invest in a dry-cleaning business. The Coens directed the 2003 film Intolerable Cruelty, starring George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones, a throwback to the romantic comedies of the 1940s. It focuses on hotshot divorce lawyer Miles Massey and a beautiful divorcee who Massey managed to prevent from receiving any money in her divorce. She vows to get even with him while, at the same time, he becomes smitten with her. Intolerable Cruelty received generally positive reviews, although it was considered to be one of the duo's weaker films. Never seen it, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. Later that year, they executive produced and did an uncredited rewrite of the Christmas black comedy Bad Santa, which garnered positive reviews. Interesting. In 2004, the Coen brothers made The Lady Killers, a remake of the Ealing Studios classic. A professor played by Tom Hanks assembles a team to rob a casino. They rent a room in an elderly woman's home to plan the heist. When the woman discovers a plot, the gang decides to murder her to ensure her silence. The Coens received some of the most lukewarm reviews of their career in response to this film. Let's see. No Country for Old Men, released in November 2007, closely follows the 2005 novel the same name by Cormac McCarthy. Vietnam veteran Lewin Moss, Josh Brolin, living near the Texas-Mexico border, stumbles upon and decides to take $2 million in drug money. He must then go on the run to avoid those trying to recover the money, including sociopathic killer Anton Chigurh, played by Javier Bardem, who confounds both Lewin and local sheriff Ed Tombell, played by Tommy Lee Jones. The plotline is a return to their noir themes, but in some respects it was a departure for the Coens. With the exception of Stephen Root, none of the stable of regular Coen characters appeared in this film. No Country for Old Men received nearly universal critical praise, garnering a 94% fresh rating at Rotten Tomatoes. It won 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Adapted Screenplay, all of which were received by the Coens, as well as Best Supporting Actor received by Bardem. Yeah, good film. Really good film. Let me jump up here a little bit. They have a lot on their Wikipedia page. Burn After Reading, a comedy starring Brad Pitt and George Clooney, was released on September 12, 2008, and portrays a collision course between a gym instructor, spies, and internet dating. released to positive reviews, it debuted at number one in North America. In 2009, the Coens directed a television commercial titled Air Freshener for the Reality Coalition. They next directed A Serious Man, released October 2nd, 2009, a gentle but dark period comedy set in 1967 with a low budget. The film is based loosely on the Coens' childhoods in an academic family in the largely Jewish suburb of St. Louis Park, Minnesota. It also drew comparisons to the Book of Job. And now we move on to the 2010s. True Grit, released in 2010, is based on the 1968 novel of the same name by Charles Portis. Filming was done in Texas and New Mexico. Hailee Steinfeld stars as Maddie Ross, along with Jeff Bridges as Marshall Rooster Cockburn. Matt Damon and Josh Brolin also appear in the movie. True Grit was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. I love True Grit. I think it is just one of those movies. Like one of those films, I don't know. Like, it takes you to a scene while you're watching it. You sort of block everything else out. At least this was my experience. You block everything else out, and you're totally invested in what you're seeing. You feel like you're there. It's amazing. Ethan Coen wrote the one-act comedy Talking Cure, which was produced on Broadway in 2011 as part of Relatively Speaking, an anthology of three one-act plays by Coen, Elaine May, and Woody Allen. Inside Llewyn Davis, 2013, is a treatise on the 1960s folk music scene in New York City's Greenwich Village, and very loosely based on the life of Dave Van Ronk. The film stars Oscar Isaac, Justin Timberlake, and Carey Mulligan. Yeah, certainly enough, I had not seen or heard of that film till now. Fargo, a television series inspired by their film of the same name, premiered in June 2014 on the FX network. It is created by Noah Hawley and executive produced by the brothers. The Coens' most recent film, Hail Caesar, is about a quote-unquote fixer in 1950s Hollywood trying to discover what happened to a cast member who vanishes during filming. It stars Coen regulars George Clooney, Josh Brolin, Frances McDormand, Scarlett Johansson, and Tilda Swinton, as well as Channing Tatum, Ralph Fiennes, Jonah Hill, and Alden Einrich. The film was released in February 5th, 2016. Never saw it, but that's a great cast. In 2016, the Coens gave to In 2016, the Coens gave to their longtime friend and collaborator John Turturro the right to use his character of Jesus of Jesus Quintana from The Big Lebowski in his own spin-off, Going Places, which he would also write and direct. The Coens have no involvement in the production. In August 2016, the film began principal photography. The Coens first wrote the script for Suburbicon in 1986. The film was eventually directed by George Clooney and began filming in October 2016. It was released by Paramount Pictures in the fall of 2017. And now we move on to planned and uncompleted projects. In a 1998 interview with Alex Simon for Venice Magazine, the Coens discussed a project called The Contemplations, which would be an anthology of short films based on stories in a leather-bound book from a quote-unquote dusty old library. In 2001, Joel stated that a Cold War comedy called 62 Skidoo is one I'd like to do someday. Then do it, Joel. The Coens had hoped to film James Dickey's novel To the White Sea. They were due to start production in 2002 with Jeremy Thomas producing and Brad Pitt in the lead role, but it was canceled when the Coens felt that the budget offer was not enough to successfully produce the film. In August 2015, it was announced that Warner Brothers had optioned the film rights to Ross McDonald's novel Black Money for the Coen brothers to potentially write and direct. In October 2016, The Hollywood reported that the Coens would work on the screenplay for Fox's Dark Web and based on Joshua Bierman's two-part Wired article about Ross Ulbricht and his illicit Silk Road online marketplace. They would probably do a great job with that story. The project originated in 2013 with novelist Dennis Lahance on board for the screenplay, Shernan Entertainment will produce. Really cool. Really cool stuff. Here, I'm moving down a little bit more. Let's see what else we have. Again, they have a bunch of, I mean, you know, we just covered the most important parts, let's call it. Well, I guess I'll end with this, with collaborators, because it sort of gives an idea of who the Coen brothers always work with, and it's going back to that comparison I made with Christopher Nolan, where they seemingly have their own team, and I guess Nolan has his own group of people that he likes to work with, including actors. So, the Coen brothers often cast certain actors in their films, most frequently Frances McDormand, Steve Buscemi, John Goodman, John Polito, and John Turturro. They have worked twice with Jeff Bridges and at least three times with Michael Badalucco, George Clooney, Richard Jenkins, Stephen Root, Bruce Campbell, and Josh Brolin. So yeah, that's it. That was the Coen Brothers Wikipedia page on this version or edition of ASM Articles. Again, I hope my feeling under the weather didn't affect the episode too much. I'm also having a little more fun with these episodes. I sort of was re-listening to episodes in the past, and I noticed that a lot of them are, you know, they're very cut and dry, right? It's, okay, here's the text, and I sort of read them in a very robotic way. I'm trying to sort of incorporate my own commentary in there because the show is becoming more popular, and I feel that ever since I started doing this, a little more people have responded. Well, just listening more and giving better feedback, so. But let me know your thoughts. I like to get in touch with people. I enjoy having, you know, exchanges online with people about what it is they like, what they don't like, their suggestions. You know, I'm not a big fan of someone who just types in a comment on YouTube being like, you know, hey, this is bad. Well, okay. I mean, I'm sorry about that, but I need to know what it is you want in order to try to please everyone to the best of my abilities. So. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. Let me know what's going on. If you have any suggestions or comments, you can get in touch with the show at hello@sleepandrelaxasmr.com. And if you love the show, if it really matters to you, please consider donating. All that information will be available on the show notes or by visiting our website, which is just sleepandrelaxasmr.com. That's it for now. Thanks as always for listening, and take care.